are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Huda Nation and Huda family? Welcome in for another fresh week here at Locked On Saints, presented by the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson, N-O-L-A on Twitter, your host covering your New Orleans Saints every single Monday through Friday. You can also catch all my written work over at canalstreetchronicles.com. Thank you all very much for joining me on this Lundi Gras episode. Hope that you're enjoying the Mardi Gras festivities this weekend and heading in through the week. With it being Monday, that can only mean one thing here at the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Mock Draft Monday, so we're all about these mocks all day today, especially with the NFL Combine underway. So as prospects are going through weigh-ins and measurements, we'll go through three different mock drafts to see how they stack up. We'll start off, as always, with our good friends over at thedraftnetwork.com. Joe Marino published his first-round mock draft 6.0 that has the Saints grabbing a fan favorite. Then we'll take a look at my full Saints mock draft rounds 1 through 6 for the Saints, who I selected and why. Then we'll close out with our newest portion of the Mock Draft Monday episodes. You offered up mocks on the Locked On Saints Facebook group. I chose one to talk about today. We got all of that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. In Joe Marino's mock draft 6.0 at thedraftnetwork.com, he chooses a fan favorite, Justin Jefferson from the LSU Tigers, to pair up with Michael Thomas in New Orleans. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. It's all about the homegrown prospects here in Louisiana. Justin Jefferson in Joe Marino's mock draft, staying in Louisiana to join up with the New Orleans Saints. And we've talked before many times about how great a fit Justin Jefferson is with the Saints and with Michael Thomas in particular. Here's a little bit about what Marino had to say. Michael Thomas caught an NFL record 149 passes in 2019, but the highest total outside of Michael Thomas from any other Saints wide receiver was Ted Ginn Jr. with 30 receptions, and no other wide receiver had more than 18 catches. Jefferson is a dynamic route runner with exceptional ball skills that would wonderfully complement Thomas and maximize the Saints' offensive ability to get the most out of what's left in the tank with Drew Brees. Now, we know that I agree with this 100%, and we've talked about that before, so I want to talk about something a little bit different when it comes to Justin Jefferson, and let's talk a little bit about what it is that makes him a really, really good fit for the Saints outside of what he does as a ball player. Let's talk about his coaching. So one of the things that one of the big storylines out of LSU was that offense, right? The best college football offense that we've probably ever seen at this point. And a big part of that was Joe Brady leaving from the Saints as offensive assistant, taking over as passing game coordinator. He's now the offensive coordinator down in Carolina, also within the NFC South. So we'll be seeing a lot of him and learning a lot about him as an NFL guy. But his collegiate time with LSU last season was absolutely outstanding. Now, he didn't do it all on his own. He helped install that offense along with offensive coordinator Steve Insminger. But the big thing and the big correlation here that I want to sort of draw is that Joe Brady, who worked as the Saints offensive assistant back in 2018, left the Saints, went to LSU, worked with them in 2019. And as Matt Moscona told us when he was here on the show, he was a big part of the coaching staff for wide receivers, not necessarily the quarterback. So he didn't work a ton with Joe Brady or rather Joe Burrow or anything like that. He spent most of his time working with guys like Ja'Marr Chase, Terrence Marshall, and of course, Justin Jefferson. So you have a former Saints coach who has knowledge of the scheme, knowledge of the system, who has learned from Sean Payton and Pete Carmichael what it is that they want in this offense. He then took that information to LSU and installed it. And not only did he help install it in terms of what the grander sense of it all is within the offense with Steve Insminger, he also helped to translate every bit of it to those wide receivers, including Justin Jefferson. So Justin Jefferson is absolutely primed to step out of LSU and then right into the black and gold offense and essentially be able to just carry on and do exactly what he was doing. Because not only was he running a pro-style offense with Joe Burrow, Joe Brady, Steve Insminger at LSU, he was running in the Saints offense, essentially. That spread attack, that air attack, that explosive offense that the Saints love to have. That's exactly what he was doing, and that's exactly what he would be able to continue to do where he drafted at 24 with the New Orleans Saints. And in terms of his fit as a ball player for Jefferson, it's obvious. I mean, look, a lot of people look at Justin Jefferson, and I've heard people speak about him as if he were LSU's number one last season, and that's just simply not the case. Justin Jefferson actually spent most of his time in the slot with Jamar Chase and Terrence Marshall over on the outside. And of course, when Terrence Marshall got hurt, then you saw Justin Jefferson take a few more snaps out on the boundary and everything. But for the most part, you really saw him operate out of the slot. So that's great because he can operate out of the slot, but he also has the ability to play off the boundary. So he has that versatility to where you can play him either or, much like you can do with Michael Thomas, and then much like Tre'Quan Smith has started to turn on with his time. But if you look at what the Saints have and you look at what the Saints need, Justin Jefferson fits both of those things. He can stretch the field. He's not a 4.4 speed guy, a 4.3 speed guy, like, you know, I was going to say Henry Ruggs, but he might run in the 4.2s. But, you know, he's not one of those guys, but he's certainly I'll say sufficient quantity on the outside, right? He can make those plays for you. He has a pretty expansive route tree as well. And so that's really, really helpful on the outside as well as in the slot, which is kind of the big thing that Saints offense has been missing since Willie Snead. And so you have somebody that can be the field stretcher, that can carry some defenders down the field, but that can also operate out of the slot and be that tough catch over the middle kind of guy. So this is great. This is a fantastic fit. And I happen to believe that this might be, I can't think of a better team player fit in the draft than Justin Jefferson to New Orleans in terms of what's realistic and what's possible within the draft. I think that this is an absolutely fantastic pick and one that we'll continue to see all through the offseason. I think even after the combine, and in fact, after the combine, it might even pick up more steam because perhaps the Saints take some time to meet with Justin Jefferson, and then all of a sudden, that's all over your airwaves. So be ready to hear Justin Jefferson's name a lot here on this podcast, as well as just all throughout NFL media when talking about potential picks for the New Orleans Saints. All right, y'all, so that's the TDN mock draft. Next, we're going to take a look at my six-round mock draft for the Saints coming up here in just a moment here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. But before we get to that, guys, let's talk about sex, good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, it's BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as the pills, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants some extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And right now, we've got a special deal just for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, and faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, y'all, coming up next, we're going to take a look at one of your mock drafts in the Locked On Saints Facebook group. But before we get to that, we're going to go through the one that I just did at thedraftnetwork.com. Stood pat, no trades, anything like that. But first, I do want to quickly acknowledge, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in depth in tomorrow's episode, but the Saints now have their linebacker coach. They have elevated Michael Hodges to linebackers coach in place of Mike Nolan, who left, of course, for the Dallas defensive coordinator job. Hodges was the assistant linebackers coach and has been sticking around with the Saints coaching staff for a few years now, so now he gets the opportunity to jump in as a positional coach, taking over that linebacker position for the Saints coaching staff. All right, so let's jump into this mock draft. Again, we'll talk more about that coaching hire, or rather promotion, in tomorrow's episode, but we'll look at this mock draft here. I started off at the top at number 24 with the biggest position of need for the Saints, in my opinion, which is wide receiver. So I went with Jalen Reagor here, and I did this on purpose. Yes, Justin Jefferson was available, but we just spent the first segment talking about Justin Jefferson, so I wanted to go somewhere else here. And Jalen Reagor would be an incredible addition to the Saints as well. Yes, they've tried the speed guys over on the outside before in terms of Ted Ginn Jr., and we want to say that it didn't work, but it actually did for a little while. The difference not being that the speed thing didn't work, the difference being that the hands thing didn't work and the lack of separation thing didn't work. Jalen Reagor, don't have to worry about that with him. The hands thing might be a little bit of a concern, but it's all teachable hand stuff. It's not that he's got hands of stone and he can't catch a football. It's that he'll anticipate getting up the field a little bit too early and then lose concentration and drop passes that way, which is easily teachable. And that's something that Curtis Johnson and Michael Thomas could definitely help him out with no problem. So I like the idea of Jalen Reagor here. He's going to run an incredibly fast 40-yard dash. He's going to impress like crazy at the combine. He might break Byron Jones' broad jump record. This guy jumped 26 feet in the long jump when he barely did any preparation at all in high school before he did it. And then he ended up winning again with a 24-foot long jump. Now, of course, the difference between long jump and broad jump is that you get a running start, but to do essentially half of that is not at all unprecedented. So Jalen Reagor is going to absolutely light up the combine this year, and I think he's going to shoot up some boards because of that. I know a very good friend of mine, Brandon Olson, has him, I believe, at his wide receiver one, or at least, in that conversation. But he would be an extraordinary asset for the Saints. Run after catch ability, field stretching ability, can make contested catches, can make catches over the middle, can run a route tree. I mean, like, he's got everything. So I really like the idea of Jalen Reagor out of TCU to the Saints at number 24. Now, waited around until the third round, which I'm not entirely sure that the Saints will do. I would be surprised if they sat there and waited all the way to pick 88 after 24. But at pick 88, I went a different direction here. I usually try to go interior offensive line or defensive line here. Or if there's a nice corner on the board like Amik Robertson out of La Tech, I might go there. But this time I went with something a little different, and I went with Jalen Hurts, the quarterback out of Oklahoma. Look, Jalen Hurts, a lot of people are talking about him as a Taysom Hill type fit, and I'm not down with it. I don't think that that's a fair assessment. I think that Jalen Hurts is a quarterback and a quarterback and a quarterback, and that's it, as opposed to Taysom Hill, that's literally everything else, and could be a quarterback too, and we'll find that out. But that's one of the reasons why I drafted Jalen Hurts, is because I don't know if we're ever going to find that out about Taysom Hill, or if what we find out is what we're going to like to see. So you get a guy in the third round that can be, has shown you that he has a championship pedigree, that he can do that, and that he's a guy that can win games. Bring him into the system, let him learn behind Drew Brees for a year. Maybe he sits behind Taysom Hill for a year, but then if you redevelop your system for Taysom Hill and it doesn't work and you decide to go to Jalen Hurts, then you go from mobile quarterback to mobile quarterback, as opposed to pocket quarterback to mobile quarterback, then back to pocket passer. And so I expect that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be out the door this offseason, and he absolutely should be. He should take a starting job somewhere right now while he can get it, and I think that that could open the door for the Saints to go to the draft and grab a quarterback if there's somebody that they like, either at 24 still on the board, or to me, more sensibly, 88 on the board, because I think you should use 24 for either that linebacker position or the wide receiver position. Now, speaking of that linebacker position, I did pass on linebacker in these first two picks, and after these first two picks, I probably wouldn't go back to the linebackers unless I wanted to grab a developmental guy late in the draft, which you'll see I did in this draft. But I think that the Saints are going to take care of linebacker and corner in free agency, and they're going to address those. They've done that over the past couple of years, and I think you would expect to see that again this year with some better options out in free agency than we've seen in the past few seasons, with the exception, of course, of the DeMario Davis signing. That was the best free agent signing for the Saints, outside of probably Drew Brees. So for the fourth round here, I decided to address the offensive line, so I waited a little bit on this. Now, I ended up going back to it here, and I drafted Hakeem Adeniji out of Kansas. Now, this is a guy that I really liked last year, and again, this was a Whole Nine Sports guy that I got put onto by Whole Nine Sports and Brandon Olson, but somebody that I really liked last year. He ended up not declaring for the draft. Now, he is eligible, or is still eligible, and is graduating at this point. He was at the Senior Bowl, and the thing that I like about Adeniji is, first of all, his size, 6'4", over 300 pounds. That's great, but he played tackle. He played priority left tackle all throughout his time at Kansas, but has the build to move on the inside. And so if you keep him over on that left side, then all of a sudden, this is a guy that addresses the two biggest needs on your team, which is a backup developmental left tackle behind Teron Armstead in case he were to end up being hurt, and then potentially a left guard if he transitions and translates really, really well there. You're drafting a guy in the fourth round. You're probably not going to get an Eric McCoy or a Ryan Ramczyk style at that point in the draft, but if you can find somebody that could potentially learn and be serviceable at more than one position, then I think you do that at this point in the draft, and Hakeem Adeniji, I think, would be a fantastic selection for the Saints, especially here at the fourth round. And then in round five here, I decided that I wanted to address the defensive line, and I went with a guy who's a little bit of a developmental pick, which is what you're going to do at the bottom 100s here. At this point, we're at pick 151, and that's without considering compensatory picks, of course. And so I went with Benito Jones out of Ole Miss, and I know I probably have a lot of LSU fans that are like, why would you draft at Ole Miss? But here's the thing about this guy that I think is really interesting, and the thing that I like about him. Y'all will probably remember last year the name Kalen Saunders as being an interior defensive lineman that I was just absolutely all about. He ended up being drafted by the Kansas City Chiefs and played pretty well over there, but he reminds me a lot of Kalen Saunders, Benito Jones does, because he's 6'1", over 320 pounds. He's got that bowling ball style type frame, and he is just ridiculously athletic and ridiculously, like, his lateral quickness for a guy that size is just outstanding. And that was one of the things that I loved about Kalen Saunders. Y'all remember I talked about him doing backflips to the Senior Bowl and stuff like that. I don't think Benito Jones is going to be cutting any backflips soon, but the way that he moves and the way that he works along the defensive line is actually really impressive. The thing about him, though, is that at 6'1", he doesn't have a lot of reach. His arm length is going to be super, super short. We'll see that as these measurements come out from the combine, but so that's something that really is going to push him away, and he doesn't really have the opportunity to create separation from the offensive lineman because that's offensive lineman getting his frame really easily because of the fact that he does not have that reach and doesn't have much extension. But if he's able to get a move on somebody with his quickness, then he becomes a pretty good penetrator. So we'll see. I mean, he would be somebody that would be developmental and everything, if nothing else. But we've also seen, you know, look at Chai Tuttle, who came out undrafted, and see what he did too. So the Saints defensive line and Ryan Nielsen, defensive line coach, always do a really fantastic job at developing these young guys. And Benito Jones could be another one of those names, or he could just be, you know, another Elise Mack who just doesn't end up on the roster, but that's okay with your, you know, fifth, with these day three picks. And then finally, another developmental guy, I decided to go linebacker here, as I teased, Muhammad Berry out of Nebraska. I just think he's super smart. He's super fast. He's very, not super fast, but he's very athletic. Let me say it that way. And he can tackle. And so those are the kind of the three things that I was looking for if I was going to go for a late round linebacker or a day three linebacker, because those are tools that you can work with. And his intelligence and his speed, his athleticism, those are things that are going to be really, really desirable. And that's something that the Saints really look for in terms of their fit and what they want at the second level. And he matches that. So I ended up going with him. So just as a recap altogether, Jalen Reagor at number 24, Jalen Hurts in the third round. I just realized I went Jalen and Jalen there. And then Hakeem Adeniji in the fourth round, Benito Jones in the fifth round, and then Mo Berry in the sixth round. And that was my mock draft that I did today with the, it's sort of a pre-combine mock draft that I did today at thedraftnetwork.com. You can check it out. And of course, if you do any of your own mock drafts, go ahead and drop them over at the Locked On Saints Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/LockedOnSaints. And then that way on these mock draft Mondays, I could potentially be talking about your mock drafts on the show, just like we're going to do here in just a moment. We'll grab one of the listener mock drafts in the Locked On Saints Facebook group and then delve into that here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Hooded Nation, wrapping up today's episode with a look at the seventh round mock draft from Alvaro Lopez from the Locked On Saints Facebook group. There were a couple of really good ones here, but I went with Alvaro's, and I will tell you why when I get there. But let's start off at the top of the draft here. And this is something that I actually really like. And I know a lot of people might not love this idea, but at number 24 for the Saints, he chose cornerback CJ Henderson out of Florida. Now, what a lot of people will react to oftentimes when they see a defensive player for the Saints taken in the first round is that you have to go wide receiver in the first round, but you don't entirely have to. And if you don't, you can still get a quality wide receiver later on. And I know, oh, well, they tried that with Traquan Smith. They tried that other times. Yes, yes, yes. But this is a specific class. This is the class that everyone's been waiting for some six, you know, five, 4 years at this point, in terms of what this wide receiver class looks like. So taking CJ Henderson and then getting this outstanding Florida corner, young guy that can come in and be the number two opposite Marshawn Lattimore. And then you have youth all along that secondary. You've got a Marshawn Lattimore, you've got a CJ Henderson, Marcus Williams, you've got Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, also from Florida, from who was drafted last year in the fourth round. And then hopefully the Saints able to retain Von Bell. Even if not, there's some combination of those young guys that are there. And then you get a veteran presence in free agency, which, like I said in the last segment, I think the Saints will address corner, will address linebacker in free agency. But I don't mind this pick at all. I like this pick. I think you get another playmaker, somebody that can take the ball away, which is something that the Saints haven't had in their secondary outside of really Marcus Williams. And then Von Bell in terms of forcing and recovering fumbles, but in terms of flipping fields and creating interceptions, Marcus Williams is really your only guy in the backfield that's, or in the secondary that's doing that. Now at number 88, and this is one of the reasons why I chose this draft, Fresno State's Netanne Moody. Now, I'm biased because my fiance's from Fresno, but also Netanyi Moody is really good. He's been hurt a lot, and that's like my one biggest concern. I think it's going to be everybody's biggest concern. But he's also ranked as Pro Football Focus's number one interior offensive lineman in the 2020 draft, number 30 overall prospect, and Alvaro was able to get him at pick number 88. You roll the dice on a guy like this, and hopefully you can help him increase a little bit of his stamina and everything, and his fatigue, and sort of increase his endurance a bit. But you get a guy like Netanyi Moody who does actually become a bit of a plug and play. You know, I mentioned in the last segment that Hakeem Adeniji, not so much a plug and play guy. He's going to develop behind Teron Armstead, potentially make the shift over to guard if he were selected by the Saints. But Netanyi Moody, you don't have to do any of that. You just plug him in. You just plug him in and you let him do what he does. He's an outstanding pass blocker, which is the most important part. And he's mobile enough to be very good in the run game as well. It's just the injuries. It's just the and it's not, and I guess I shouldn't even say just the injuries, but I mean, regardless, you roll the dice on a guy like this in the third round because what he brings in terms of upside is better than what, you know, your concerns are in terms of his injuries. And if you can have, you know, if you can retain a Nick Easton, for instance, then you have a little bit less to worry about in terms of being able to plug and play a guy like Netanyi Moody. At number 120, which is going to put us in the fourth round, this is what I was talking about. You can still get a quality wide receiver later on in the draft. Tyler Johnson, wide receiver out of Minnesota. This guy's really good. Contested catches, go up and get it kind of guy, can make tough catches over the middle, can stretch the field. He's not going to create a ton of separation, but kind of like Michael Thomas. Well, Michael Thomas does create really good separation, but he also doesn't need the separation. Tyler Johnson's the same way. He can create it, but if he doesn't get it, he don't need it. And as long as you have a guy like Drew Brees under center that can put the ball where only a guy like Tyler Johnson can get his hands on it, if he gets his hands on it, he's coming down with it. I like Tyler Johnson out of Minnesota a lot. And then you follow it up with another very athletic pass catcher, Florida Atlantic's tight end, Harrison Bryant. Now, the Saints have drafted from Florida Atlantic before. We've seen it. Trey Hendrickson, of course, is from FAU. Harrison Bryant, and I know a lot of people are going to go, well, he's not going to be there at 151. That's fine. It doesn't matter. That's not what this is about. He was there on the board during the simulation, and Alvaro smartly took him. This is another guy, big body, can catch passes over the middle, can be a number three piece behind, Jared Cook and Josh Hill. I like this pick a lot because he can also grow into a guy that can take over when Jared Cook is done in New Orleans because he's playing out the last year of his contract in 2020. And then Raekwon Williams, shoring up the defensive line. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Alvaro, out of Michigan State. He's somebody that is just like what I was talking about. Not entirely just like what I was talking about with Benito Jones. He's a different type of player. He's a little bit slimmer. He has a little bit, but also has that same kind of athleticism, but he can bulk up the middle as well. But he's a developmental guy late in the game that you're selecting at 183 overall. Again, not counting for compensatory picks at the moment. And so with a guy like Raekwon Williams, you get another developmental piece along the defensive line that can be coached up by all of the incredible players that the Saints have on the defensive line and also the great coach in Ryan Nielsen as well. So I think great job here by Alvaro, who hit a lot of different needs and found a way to do it at really, really optimal positions within the draft, which I think is really, really important. Where can you better get a better cornerback than you could have gotten a wide receiver, but then later still get a better wide receiver than you can get a better cornerback, for instance, things like that. Really, really good thought process here. I like this one a lot. So if you want to have your mock draft featured here on the show, just join the Locked On Saints Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/LockedOnSaints, and drop your mock drafts. And I'll talk about at least one every single Monday up until the draft. That's going to do it for today's episode, y'all. This was a lot of fun. Again, happy Lundi Gras, happy Mardi Gras as we come through to tomorrow. On tomorrow's episode, we'll talk a little bit more about Michael Hodges being promoted to linebacker coach from assistant linebacker coach and what that means for the Saints. It means continuity. This is a good thing. You should be happy. I'm just whispering that so that you know what we're getting into tomorrow. But it's a really, really nice move for them. And so we'll talk about that more tomorrow. And we'll start to talk about combine players to watch as workouts start to get underway later on in the week. So we'll start to take a look at all of that here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Thank you so much, everybody, as always, for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, go ahead and drop that 5-star rating and review. Go ahead and subscribe. Thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust to that nation. I'll holla at you.